It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmel.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, you can go to hashtag Giants Chat. And we take your calls on all things Giants free agency and the NFL draft. And our special guest this morning is the beat reporter for Giants.com, Michael Eisen. Michael, are you recovered yet from the weekend?
Not fully, no. Very still disappointed Syracuse lost the national semifinal, but give me a few months, John.
Did it make you feel a little bit better seeing how Louisville beat Michigan in the finals? Do you think Syracuse could have beaten Louisville?
Do I think they could have? Yeah, they did it once.
You think they would have?
They were the only team to win at Louisville this year. Do I think they would have? Quite honestly, probably not. But I think Syracuse would have given them a good game, as obviously did Michigan.
Issue number two, the Giants draft class challenge did conclude yesterday. And as I feared, Lawrence Taylor carried the day. I think I had him ranked as like a 12 or 13 seed at the top of the at the start of the thing. And I guess my bad, guys. But comes out, beats the 1984 class with Carl Banks, Jeff Hostetler, Gary Reasons, Lionel Emanuel,
William Roberts.
Then, of course, they pick Gary Zimmerman in the supplemental draft that year as well. And Lawrence Taylor carries the day, wins the Giants draft class challenge, of course, with Bill Yard and with Byron Hunt. But let's be honest, that's LT's class.
Well, I think Bill Yard carried the day. it's pretty amazing. LT's popularity is still at, extremely high with Giants fans. I mean, this will be 20 years since he last played a game. His last season was 1993. So two decades after he wore a Giants uniform, he's still LT is still an enormously popular Giant.
And I will give the Giant fans credit. I was worried when this thing started, Mike, that we'd have a lot of, you know, fans picking everybody from the 2000 classes because they know them, they've seen them. But the 280 classes got into the finals, 84 and 81. It's good to see the Giant fans appreciating the history, a lot of it that they really even didn't even see.
Yeah, well, it's a franchise with a really almost an unparalleled history. Only a couple of teams have been around longer, and Giants fans are well-versed in their team's history, and they showed it again by matching up the 81 and the 84 draft classes in the final. I would have gone with 84, as you know, as would you, but
yep.
LT carried the day.
We will talk draft. We'll talk free agency. Anything else you want to talk about with the New York Football Giants? We'll take your calls at 201-939-4513 and start out with James down in Texas. James, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What's up, James?
All right. Well, I'm just curious, what do you think is the most position lacking right now for the Giants?
Well, I don't like to use the word term lacking. I think we have strength in some area in just about every position. I think if you're looking at the draft, what positions we might target, I mean, a lot of people have said linebacker. I think there's no question we could use some speed at linebacker. And you also look at the offensive line, where we need some youth on the offensive line.
How about defensive end, Mike?
Defensive end is another possibility where, you know, JPP is young, but Tuck's getting up there. And Kiwanuka's been around a while, too. So I would say those would be 1, 2, 3. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I know Eli Manning's only, 31 and has many years left. But you always kind of got to wonder who your next quarterback is going to be. You're developing a young quarterback at some point, I would think, would be a priority.
And you know, the thing about it, too, in terms of developing a quarterback, even if he doesn't come in and play for Eli, you can usually turn that quarterback, if he turns out to be very good, into a draft pick down the road if you have to.
Absolutely, yeah. A lot of teams do that. The Giants, of course, have just gone with two quarterbacks on the roster since 2008, and they've always kept a veteran backup. It'll be interesting to see when, if and when they decide to look at a young quarterback.
All right, James, appreciate the call, bud. Take it easy. Now, how do you think this is going to work? Is it, the Giants have Curtis Painter still in their contract along with David Carr, right, Michael?
Yes.
Now, usually they like to have three quarterbacks in camp, but they like one of those three guys to be a young guy, like a Ryan Perilou. So do you think they're going to bring in a young guy? He's going to be a fourth quarterback? Do you think they're going to replace Painter with the young guy when he comes in? How do you think they're going to work that?
Just purely speculation, my guess is if they find a young guy they like, they'll bring him in and replace Painter with the young guy. If not, they'll just go with Painter as a third quarterback.
Is this going to be a draft? I mean, we've seen the Giants draft some quarterbacks, whether it's the kid Woodson. I forget what college he went to.
Kentucky.
Kentucky. They've drafted some quarterbacks in the late rounds to develop. Brett Bomar is another guy.
Brett Bomar.
I used to do the same exact thing that you just did, too. Brett Bomar. And so it is possible late rounds they could bring a quarterback to try to develop.
Yeah, I wouldn't surprise me at all, depending on how well they fill their needs as they perceive them entering the draft. But, again, I think all teams like to have a young quarterback in their system that they think they can develop. And wouldn't surprise me if, you know, fifth, sixth round, the Giants picked a quarterback. And nor would it surprise me if they don't.
201-939-4513. Let's go to John down in Florida. John, good morning.
Hello.
What's
hello.
Up, Johnny? Go ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. What do you got?
So, hey, what do you think is going to do with Victor Cruz?
Victor Cruz has until next Friday. First of all, the bottom line is I fully expect Victor Cruz to be on the team this year. He has until April 19th, which is 9 more days, to get an offer from another team. So far, he hasn't received one. If he does, the Giants can match that offer. Or if they elect not to match the offer, they will get that team's first-round draft choice. I would expect, unless it is, you know, I don't know what the contract terms would be if he got an offer. He doesn't have an offer. But I suspect at some point the Giants and Victor Cruz will work out a long-term contract deal. But, yes, I fully expect Victor Cruz to be here.
Right, because David Deal, he had lowered his salary to make some cap room. Eli Manning lowered his salary to make some cap room.
Well, not yet there.
No.
And also, they got rid of a lot of their veteran players because of the salary cap.
Well, not just because of the salary cap. I mean, a lot of those releasing veteran players was performance-based and the desire to get younger and more athletic and better. I mean, it's not all due to the salary cap.
All right, John, appreciate the call, buddy. Thanks a lot, man. Your line's breaking up a little bit there. And I want to go back to this cruising for a second because obviously this is what we get a ton of our calls on. Giant fans are kind of panicky. And I've tried to calm them down and get them off the ledge over the course of the last few months. And my new tactic is this. I want to see what you think of it. The Giants basically have Victor Cruz right now, if they so desire, under a 3-year, $24 million contract. If he plays under the tender this year, they could theoretically franchise him in 2 straight years at around $10 million per. So they basically have him at 3 years, 23, 24, whatever the franchise tag comes out to be, million. Which is, you know, not far off from whatever that reported offer the Giants had on the table from the newspapers. Whether that's true or not, who knows. So the Giants have Victor Cruz under their control basically as long as they want.
Right. Yeah, no question about it. You know, they the only fly in the ointment, so to speak, is if he gets an offer from another team. Which there have been rumors. I read there was a rumor maybe the 49ers were going to try and sign him.
Really?
But, again, nothing has materialized. There's still 9 days to go. But if Victor Cruz does not get an offer, yeah, the Giants more or less control. He's got to decide if he wants to take the Giants' offer or, you know, is he going to hold out? I don't know. But, yeah, the Giants do control him in that sense.
And I think that day is a big one because that's the day where Victor will know that look. I have 2 options now. Well, 3 options, I suppose. I can either play under the tender for this year. Once he knows no other team's going to try to sign him. Play under the tender, sign a long-term deal, and I guess the third one would be hold out.
Yeah.
And those will be his 3 options once he gets past that April 19th date.
Well, 2 of them, it's like the old cliche about the forward pass. There's 3 things that could happen. 2 of them are bad.
Yeah.
You know, holding out is never a good idea.
He will lose all his collateral with Giant fans if he holds
all
out.
All the good work he's built up.
Yep.
And as we've seen before, you know, playing under the tender, things can happen. Look at Steve Smith. You can get injured. and you never see a long-term deal. Yeah. So it, from everything I've heard, there's a generous long-term offer on the table, and it would seem to me, I mean, I'm not Victor Cruz, it's not my money, but it would seem to me it might be a good idea for him to accept it at some point.
Yes, I would tend to agree, and I think Victor will eventually see that as well as we get closer to that and past that deadline on April 19th. 201-939-4513, Len's in Columbia, Maryland. Len, good morning.
Guys, how are you?
Doing all right,
good,
Len.
How are you?
Good, good, good. Listen, just a quick comment and then a couple of questions for you. My father, who went back a long ways with the Giants, always used to tell me the three best Giants players he ever saw were Mel Hine, Emlyn Tennell, and Lawrence Taylor. Unfortunately, he passed before Eli got to us, so he never had to vote on Eli. But I can understand. I can even you know, Lawrence made an impact on everybody. Not that my father was an expert on, you know, Giants past, but he put Lawrence in there as the three best he'd ever seen. Michael, let me ask you a question. I wanted to address defensive tackle, one of the two things I wanted to talk about. I also, hopefully I have some time, want to talk about the draft. But John knows I have a tendency to exaggerate, so here I go.
So does John.
I do, that's true.
Unless we've got a guy as good as Harry Carson, a middle linebacker, we're not going to be able to stop the run the way we want to stop the run unless we get some defensive tackles. And that's why I'm leaning toward defensive tackle. If everything breaks right, I'm leaning toward defensive tackle in this draft. Give me your opinion on, not on Harry. Obviously, you're a great linebacker, and I'm exaggerating. I'd love to have Harry in his prime back playing middle linebacker for us. But, you know, you got to have defensive tackles in front of you who are going to tie up those blockers. I don't care. You know, there's a couple of linebackers I got my eye on in the draft, Minter from LSU, Oglethorpe. I mean, these guys are going to be good pros. But unless we address that defensive tackle position and get some really stud tackles in there, and I'm not sure we've done that with Cullen and
Patterson.
Mike, you know, Patterson. I think, it's just almost like 1 year at a time.
Well,
What do you think about that?
Well, I think that we're trying to do the best we can to shore up that position. I mean, you look what we've got now. I think we have six tackles. We've got Linval, Sean Rogers, Marvin Austin, Marcus Kuhn, and the two former Eagles. So those are six tackles. Now, I don't know. Obviously, you can't substitute quantity for quality, but at least, it gives us a chance. I mean, who knows if Sean Rogers can come back after a year off.
Now, Mike, you're right. You mentioned those six guys, and here's the thing, though. I believe only two of them are signed beyond this coming season.
Yeah.
Jenkins and Kuhn, correct? Yeah.
Yeah. But also at the same time, we signed Dan Connor to play middle linebacker. So that should also help the run defense. So I think we've done everything we can pre-draft to address the run defense. Now, I think it would not surprise me at all if the first draft choice is a defensive tackle, even though we already have six of them who theoretically can play. I mean, like you said, you have to be able to stop the run. But
I'm leaning that way in the draft. I'm leaning toward defensive tackle. John knows that. We've talked about this.
Yeah. It wouldn't shock me at all. I mean, there's so many different avenues to go. And I've said this before, it wouldn't shock me for an offensive line. I mean, offensive line is the heart and soul of your team, and there's no question we need some new blood there. So they may feel, and I don't know, they may feel like they've addressed defensive tackle with Connor, and the run defense is going to improve, and they want to go. But again, the other thing is we focus too much on the first round. You got to look at the draft as a whole. I mean, we may get somebody in the fourth round who can come in and play.
And quite frankly, a lot of draft experts, Len, are saying that whoever the Giants might get with their second round pick is going to be on a relatively equal talent level as the guy they get at 19. They're saying picks 15 through 50 in this draft, there really isn't that much of a drop off. You know what I mean?
Let me just give you my take on the draft, if I might. You know,
real quick, Len.
Let me just go real quick for you. If Cooper is there, I mean, it's a no-brainer. Run to the stage, hand in his name. Let's get Cooper. That's going to be touch and go. I'm not sure he's going to be there.
I doubt it.
Because I'd like to be able to go in that direction. If we have a long-term answer at right tackle. David Deal's one of my all-time favorite Giants. I like Deal, so this is not a knock on David Deal. But I think we got to be looking into the future. If we don't think the long-term answer, and I guess that would be Brewer, it's not David Deal in terms of a long-term answer.
No.
If it's not Brewer, if we don't believe this guy is the long-term answer, we got to go Fluker from Alabama, if Cooper's not there. Now, once we get past those two decisions, one the no-brainer and one, you know, we need a long-term answer at right tackle, I think we start looking, John's heard me say this before, Sylvester Williams, and I'm liking that guy from Ohio State from where I read about Hankins, the big stud from Ohio State. And behind those two, you know, Minter or Oglethorpe, but I keep centering on, I'm hoping the tackle is there. I don't think Cooper's really going to be available, so I'm looking at Sylvester Williams. And hopefully that's the big guy, the kinds of guys you need a GPS system to get around.
All right, Len.
I want to clog up the middle, Mike.
Good idea.
Appreciate the call, Len. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
And
bye.
You're going to have a lot of options on the defensive line. That's the one good thing about this draft, Mike. You're going to have a lot of options. I mean, I've seen probably half dozen to 10 guys, you know, linked to the Giants at the 19th pick. Of course, at this point, linking anybody to the Giants at that pick is kind of ridiculous, considering the scouts haven't even come back yet to have their
right.
draft meetings. They don't even have a board put together
board.
Yet. So knowing who the Giants are going to go to, or anybody that claims to know, is basically talking out of their, you know, what at this point.
Yeah.
But the Giants will have a lot of options at a lot of different spots where they really can pick the best player available. There isn't a spot where they're like, oh, well, we have to get this or we're screwed. You know, they're not in a position like that.
No, not at all, which makes it so intriguing because there are so many different avenues you can go to. You know, you don't go into a draft and say, oh, gosh, they need a corner or something like that. Although, again, it wouldn't surprise me if they took a corner either.
Exactly. 201-939-4513. A couple more calls before we say goodbye. Let's go to Bob in Washington. Bob, what's going on?
Hey, guys, great show. Hey, I was wondering what you think about Henry Hanoski's role this year coming up.
I think it'll be exactly the same role he's had for the last 2 years. A blocker. Catch the occasional pass, and you know, last year he took about 5 or 6 handoffs, but I really don't see his role changing at all.
All right, great. I was just wondering. Thanks.
Yep. All right, appreciate the call. I'm not sure what he's looking for from Heino the Rhino.
I don't know, but he
maybe more touchdown dances.
He does what he does. He does very well, but he's sort of limited in what he does.
He really did improve, though, in his second season as the blocker. He put on a lot of muscle and a lot of weight in the offseason last year and really became a great point of attack guy to not just engage but push guys off the line of scrimmage.
And he's been one of these guys that's been in here much of the offseason working out.
Him, Marcus Kuhn, we've seen a lot of. We've seen James Brewer in here a bunch. So, yeah, he's working hard. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Jody in South Jersey. Jody, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Morning.
I'm wondering what the potential is of signing Rolando McClain. I know we just picked up Connor, but I know McClain was pretty high on our draft board when the Raiders moved up and took him from us.
Yeah, there are. The Giants were interested in him. Actually, there are all kinds of reports this morning that he's signing with Baltimore.
He is signing with Baltimore. Yeah. All right.
But honestly, and I made this point on Twitter the other day, Jody. To me, McClain is very redundant with Dan Connor. They're both very similar players. They're both first and second down players that are better against the run. They don't have the best mobility to play in coverage. So I think going after a guy like McClain, it's really repetitive in what you already have in Dan Connor.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Appreciate the call, bud. Thanks. Do you agree, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. Also, McClain hasn't exactly distinguished himself in the NFL. So.
Or off the field, for that matter.
Right, exactly.
You know, whenever you have, you know, words like gun, fights, clubs going on, the Giants don't want replays here to 2008 and Plexico Burress.
Right.
Nobody wants that. Final call of the program. Let's go to Dave up in Rochester. Dave, what's up, pal?
Fellas, good morning. Mike, good morning. I just wonder, what are the odds of the Giants kind of just forgetting about Victor Cruz and maybe just paying Ramis Barden the big money?
Yeah. If it's your money, I'm sure they'll be willing to do that.
I had to, Mike. We haven't had a Ramis Barden talk in weeks.
Yeah. We have not. That is actually true. And it's actually funny. I want to build on that for a second, Dave. We got a great tweet in from Marcus Erison. He writes in, these Cruz calls make me miss the Barden calls, at least those were funny, which I thought was amusing.
Yeah, well, pretty soon I think the Barden calls will be extinct. So yeah. We're heading to extinction.
Mike, I want to get your opinion with the Aaron Ross coming back. I know a couple of weeks ago, Paul Dottino got really beat up on Corey Webster and that kind of thing, and Paul kind of defended him. With the addition of Ross coming back, how do you see us performing this year in the backfield, and do you think any draft picks will be directed in that direction?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, the way the NFL is now, it is such a pass-first league, a pass-happy league. You can't have, as the cliche goes, too many good corners. But, you know, when I look at the cornerbacks, I don't really focus on Webster or Ross. To me, the keys are Amukamara and Hosley. These are two high draft picks from the previous 2 years, and if they step up and play to the potential that was expected of them when they were drafted, then we have two very good corners. And, yeah, obviously Corey Webster needs to improve, but I really think the key to improving the secondary is Amukamara and Hosley.
And then maybe we can hope that Stevie Brown can have the same year he did last year, too.
Well, I don't know if we can expect 8 interceptions.
We demand it.
Yeah, but but it all starts with the corners, and I really think, I mean, Prince is a first-round draft choice. He's really got to start playing like a first-round draft choice.
Gotcha. All right, guys, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Dave. All right, Mike, before we say goodbye here, as you know, we're actually starting to get some young guys in. The Giants have their local workouts today with some of these kids from local areas. And, you know, people like, local workouts. They're just trying to find guys to fill out the roster spots. Well, guess what kid was part of local workouts that worked out pretty well for the Giants?
Victor Cruz.
Yeah. So you bring in everybody, you turn over every stone, and who knows when a gem's going to walk in the door.
Absolutely. You never know. So hopefully there'll be somebody out there, a player or two. I'm sure there'll be a player or two. I shouldn't say I'm sure, but I wouldn't surprise me if there's a player or two or three from here who eventually winds up in training camp.
Mike, I appreciate the time as always.
Okay,
thanks,
John,
so much.
Good to see you.
And that's all the time we have for Big Blue Kickoff Live on this Wednesday morning on Giants.com. Now, I'm going to be following Justin Tuck around at an event tomorrow morning in Staten Island. So I'm trying to get Lance to come in to do the show. Maybe I'll get Dottino. We'll see. But stay tuned to Giants.com. Either way, we should have a show tomorrow morning at 10 on Giants.com. Thanks to Michael. Thanks for joining us. Great job on the calls. We'll see you tomorrow morning right here on Giants.com.